Hello, gorgeous people. It is Lala Kent.
With Randall.
And this is Give Them Lala with Randall, the podcast.
Yes. Finally, you fucking remember my name. I got to stop cursing.
Babe. We had notes that said that you curse too much.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I got a note from the studio that says I say the F word too much. So the goal in this podcast, I've already failed, is to not curse. So I am going to work. My mother raised me to not curse. She is very disappointed. So I'm not going to curse anymore.
When you read the email out loud to me and it was like, hey, just a few notes, like don't curse as much. And we were going to listen to the episode we did with Jackson Britt. I was like, oh no, I curse too much. And then it ended up being you saying the F word the whole time.
Yeah, I felt, yeah. When I saw the only note was to me, I actually thought I was getting cut for the podcast again. But I made it to episode 3, so I'm excited. I'm here still. And by the way,
you're such a rookie that you have your phone on now.
Listen, it's with Randall. That's why I'm not a Give Them Lala. I'm the sidekick.
You're welcome. Turn the damn phone off.
Okay, bro. I did. I just want to tell you that we and it is important because we're sitting here now 24 hours back from Sundance, and I am so proud of you. You crushed it. You had the premiere of your movie, and I think you should talk about that because that was your first time ever having a premiere at Sundance, and I was so moved and so excited for you. I was like a kid in a candy shop. So why don't you tell everybody about that?
The experience in Sundance was absolutely amazing. I've been going there for so many years. When I lived in Utah, and I would like pass out goodie bags or like serve drinks.
Explain to people, like, you were like $5, $6 an hour, you know.
Yeah, no, you like, definitely.
At a party.
Yeah, you were not making mad money. I mean, if you were making $200 for the night, you were like, oh my gosh, I'm rich. But it was amazing. And not only was the experience great, when I went to the premiere of the film Spree, it was just unbelievable. It was a great film.
No, and I'm just, when I say like, because I started as an assistant. I worked, you know, all these odd jobs to get, you know, come up and babe and try to, you know, become, you know, in the business and become successful. And you've done the same thing. And I don't think people really understand, like, you fit modeled and you worked, you know, hosting gigs and all that stuff. For you to show up on a red carpet at the Sundance Film Festival is got to be pretty, I mean, I know what it meant to you, but I mean, I think people, you know, don't realize how epic that one moment is when you get it.
Well, it's like when you sit there and you've been thinking about something your entire life and, you know, things didn't always go my way. Of course, I'm so grateful for Vanderpump Rules, but you have to understand as a kid, like I was never thinking I want to do reality TV.
Right.
And when I signed on to Vanderpump, I never wanted to lose the vision of wanting to become an actress and working on my craft.
Of course.
So to go back to my home state to a film festival that I've been going to for years and actually have a film, it was surreal.
And what I love about Vanderpump, and I think people know this probably, is that it's been such a springboard for you. It's given you so many cool opportunities, and it continues. So I think that's cool. You know. Between Vanderpump and then, so you get to like do reality.
I love you, Vanderpump Rules.
Plug Lisa Vanderpump. no, but I think it's cool. I think you get to do reality. You get to go do your acting.
Well, someone asked me that, Rand, when I was doing press. They were like, so are you thinking like you're just going to focus on acting and not do Vanderpump? I'm like, we live in a world where you can do it all. Like, I'm not canceling anything out. I love acting and I love doing Vanderpump Rules. Like, let's rock it all till the wheels fall off.
I think it's cool. And now we're here working together.
But let's talk about one thing, because I can't not talk about this. We had an amazing Sundance.
Yep.
We're living our best life. We're on the PJ on Sunday flying from Utah to Ohio. And we see online that Kobe Bryant has passed away with his daughter.
Okay. And here's the crazy thing. Obviously everybody in the world has been affected by this. We're on the plane and we get a text, and we see on our thing, it says TMZ reports it, and you go into that complete denial. Like this didn't happen.
Yeah.
This is bullshit reporting. And then everybody on the plane starts Googling, and within 11 minutes from the time we saw the TMZ, it was everywhere. And that plane ride, that last hour and a half from when we found out, it was jaw-dropping, disbelief, heartbreak. By the way, and I just want to put this out there, I was never a big sports person. You know that, babe. I mean, I don't even, I barely know, but I mean, Kobe Bryant, what I've watched, I've gone to a lot of Laker games. I mean, this is the icon of hero of basketball. And even myself, tears and heartbreak and emotional, and then you, and I mean this with love, and I'm sitting right next to you and I know you're going to get upset. And I'm not laughing. I have to laugh. I have to find some humor, but there really is none right now. But I watched you all night. You couldn't leave the hotel. See, you have tears over your eyes, and I love you. You're going to get me upset now. But I watched you all night. And it's just, Kobe Bryant has had the effect on the world that he's had. You're sitting here with tears in your eyes right now. And that, to me, shows this is a legend that the world will honor his, and then the heartbreak of the other victims. I love you. It's okay. Just... I know. And I want to say there are other people, obviously we know there were, you know, other people on the helicopter, other families that are, I've watched the news with all these different families.
Coach Alto with his wife and his daughter.
But all of the victims of this horrific, you can't even process it as somebody like myself who isn't connected to Kobe Bryant in that way as a family member. I feel for the victims, for the families, for the heartbreak, for the children, and I don't even know what to say, and I'm watching you with tears in your eyes. But I want to say this. Kobe Bryant and all of the people, but Kobe Bryant, what an effect he has had on me, somebody who's not even a sports person. And I'm going to let you jump back in here because I want you to share your feelings, because you shared them with me last night. For the last 2 days, yesterday, you couldn't really get out of bed. I mean, you were laying in bed. I said, babe, let's go to dinner.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm really in a dark place right now. That's what you said to me.
Yeah. And for me, like Kobe Bryant, when you think about like your first love, when you're a kid, you see someone on TV and you're like, I'm in love with that person. Kobe Bryant was that for me. I was a basketball player up until junior high, and like I just wanted to be athletic like him. I thought he was the most fascinating human being. I used to Google him 24/7. I knew everything about him. I would make books about him. And I just, you know, the night that it happened, or the morning that it happened, that night I just kept waking up.
Yeah.
And you were next to me.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
I know, baby, it's okay.
Think about his wife who's
left behind to be strong,
wake up with him again.
No, and to be and her daughter,
child, all these people.
One
of the families lost their sister, their mom, and their dad. It's just truly devastating.
I listened to the coach. And I listened to the coach who lost his wife and has I think four kids, and he said, I just don't know how I'm going to go on without a wife, without a mother for my children. I cannot, and I've shed a lot of tears over this, watching you and myself just emotionally, how catastrophic this is. I cannot imagine what these people, how they're going to pick the pieces up. And I just want to send prayers to each and every one of them, every family member, and to the world
yes,
for the compassion that our world has showed these people.
Oh, we're all getting choked up.
it's heartbreak. I just want to say that everybody, it seems like the world is coming together over this, and if there's anything,
very like cliche to be like, live every day and be grateful, but I'm telling you guys, as someone who has lost a parent, which I'm sure there are many of you who have had that,
or a brother or a sister,
or lost
a friend,
it is earth shattering, and for real, you just have to walk this earth with your head held high and be so grateful for
every
moment. So Kobe Bryant, you will be extremely missed, brother, and your beautiful daughter,
and all the families and all the victims families, we just send our love, and everybody listening, just take a second and send your love out to them. I'm gonna segue here. I don't know how we segue
to a happier note. We
are
in Ohio filming a movie called Open Source. We have yours truly, Lala Kent. We have Jesse Metcalf. We have the infamous Bruce Willis. But we also have the badass of all badasses.
Oh, God.
Natalie Eva Marie.
Yes.
Yeah!
Go, Natalie. Anyway, Natalie, I got to tell you, this is my second movie with Natalie. We did another movie called Inconceivable, and that's where we met. And she is such a talent. First of all, any woman that's wrestling and can kick any man's ass.
She's incredible.
No, she can kick any man's ass.
I did my fitting with her, you guys. And as she was like putting her stuff on, I was like, I really need to stop eating nachos Bel Grande at 1 a.m. because that bod that she works on 24/7, yeah, she's just a freaking athlete, dude.
She is. It's so crazy because her Instagram, you know, obviously we're friends with her and we follow her. You know, I get pissed off because I'm like, dude, I'm like chunky monkey. And I look at her on this gram and she's got, I mean, like inverted body fat. She's got inverted body fat. I've got extroverted body fat. Like I have a six pack. I know what's beneath about the 8.5 pounds of fat on my stomach.
Oh my
but,
God.
But the thing is, she is like, I mean, I don't even know what it is. It's
she
like
she works hard, dude.
No, but hard. Like, okay, hard is like you go to the gym and you like I flex a few times. She's
no,
like,
this bitch tells me she's like squatting 200 pounds. I'm like, what?
Yeah, she told us that. And and by the way, I don't even know what that means because I don't go to the gym. It's obviously clearly looking.
Randall's like, what is a squat?
No, I know how to get to Dunkin' Donuts and back.
That's amazing.
But listen, I give her respect, but here's the thing. She's going to bust my balls a little bit because I call her up in a panic when my fat roll gets to be too much. And I'm okay with that. Listen.
She said it in the car. Bro, you don't do anything. You don't go to the gym. You don't try to eat healthy. Like, stop.
No, I made plans. Wait, I made plans with all of you to go to the gym the other day. And here's the thing. I went to the store and I bought all the shit. I bought the shoes, the shirts. Look in the other room. I have all the sweatpants. I'll show you.
The shoes you're wearing? Those geriatric motherfuckers?
Okay, that's hateful. You're pissing me off now. You're doing that bullshit again. Lala, those are hookahs.
What,
those are
like a
professional. Yeah, those are professional running shoes.
All right.
Why don't you get... Lala.
All right, I feel you.
No. I'm not letting you get off this point. Listen to me real quick. No, you can't just take a dig and move on. I want to say something about my shoes.
Okay.
Okay, we don't all have to look like a runway model every single day. Sometimes I want to just feel comfortable. So my hookah shoes or Hoka, whatever they're called, are badass. And you should be respectful that I have to walk around a lot on the set. And I need comfortable shoes. I am not in a runway model show. And second of all, I have the effort and commitment to work out mentally up here. Just physically, my body doesn't go to the gym. So Natalie and you need to back off on this episode and not talk about
it. I've been backing off for a long time, you guys. All right.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Ask me the question, then I want to get these voicemails.
No, but can I ask you one question?
What?
Do you think... Don't... Okay, this fucking attitude. Okay, here's...
Tell me.
I am never recording a podcast with you ever again during a time of the month. I swear on myself. Never... No, you think I'm joking. I will not do this again. Now, I want to tell you one thing. I put on my jeans today.
Oh, God.
But my loose ones.
Okay.
And they became skinny jeans. That's a problem. We have a problem. Houston,
we have a problem.
So I'm ready for an intervention. A food intervention.
All right. Should we podcast your intervention? That would be epic.
No. I'm not looking to
go
public.
Too sensitive?
You think? Okay.
Honey, I'm an alcoholic. An intervention, that kind of intervention is like child's play.
Okay.
All right, you guys. We have amazing voicemails. Let's start with number one.
Yeah.
Hi, Lala. Hi, Randall. I'm a huge fan of the show. So my question goes out to both of you. When you guys first laid eyes on each other, what was the first thought that came through your mind?
It's like, let me think about that.
Remember me when I didn't show you my PMS bitch face.
You mean when you've ripped my head off for the last 12 hours?
Yeah, about the very first time ever.
Let me go back in time. I have to really think about this. Oh, shit.
I remember.
I'm definitely sleepy in another room tonight.
No, I remember. But... You, like, when I first saw you... You had, like, your voice is very sexy. I've always said that. And you had these...
I have a face for radio.
No, but let's be for real.
Okay.
And then your mannerisms. I was like, this guy has a lot of swag.
You always
for
said
a
that.
White guy.
Okay, well, you didn't say that, but you said I had a lot of swag.
No, you had mad swag, and you were so sweet to me, and I was like, all right, I need to hit that. And then I hit that.
What?
Yeah.
This is what you thought?
Yes.
Oh, this is whacked.
And I think this is nice.
You had to hit that?
I was like, he's banging.
I mean, what the fuck is this?
I got to hit that, and then I need to bag that. Nope. And after, we were inseparable.
So your line was, I got to hit it and then bag it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how you looked at me.
I got to put in that good so that I can really.
You know what that sounds like?
What?
You're robbing a fucking bank.
Well, you know, it was kind of like that.
Oh, this is so whacked. Okay.
All right.
I guess that's your, what? Mine was a little different because I'm a romantic.
Oh, tell me.
I saw you and I felt a very deep connection to you and I felt very connected and I didn't want to be away from you.
Oh, babe.
Yeah, I didn't want to hit it and bag it. I mean, I've never even heard of that. I mean, you know what? Do me a favor next time, babe. When somebody asks something like that, can you just drop both those
so
terms?
Lie? Should I lie?
Yeah, just say something romantic. Okay, I'll do the next question and I'll start the answer because I'm freaked out right now. You want to hit and bag me. I mean, it's like hit it and tag it or bag it and tag it. The question is,
hi, Lala. I'm a huge fan from Connecticut. I was just calling in because I was wondering, I know you and Randall got a lot of shit when you first started dating for your age difference, and my boyfriend is significantly older, and I was just wondering if you had any advice for dealing with family and friends that just don't approve it. Again, huge fans of both of you, and so happy that Rand's on the show, and so congratulations on your wedding. Thanks.
This one is a little hard for me because my family always approved of
you.
You
didn't have that issue.
I didn't have that. My family's very much like, I brought home some sketchy dudes before Rand and they were like even accepting of them.
Okay, TMI.
So, but
yes,
the
truth is your family, and I remember meeting your family. They were as welcoming. Like they didn't even, there was no,
they didn't even think
there was
about
never
it.
A conversation about the age.
They knew if he's good to you, that's what it is.
But let me give you my advice because
even though we haven't had parents, we've had a lot of people that are think it's so weird.
I agree with that. A lot of people have talked shit, but here's what I want to say. At the end of the day in your life, you're going to put your head down on the pillow with the person you love. And if you're living for other people's opinions, those people obviously have their own issues. And if you love your man the way I assume you do, and you put your head down next to him, and that's where you feel the safest, then you do that, and you do you, because at the end of your life, you're going to have a smile on your face, and rest of those
people, they're all going to fall into place.
Exactly.
They're all going to see you happy, and it may take some time.
But it eventually goes away.
It
goes away.
But if you have your soulmate, the time is worth it.
And let me say one last thing. People talked a lot of shit, as you guys all know, babe. I mean,
oh, he's like your dad.
Well, you didn't
help. That's my favorite one.
Well, you also didn't help the cause with all the bullshit you say.
I was like, ooh, daddy.
Okay. All right.
Baby.
Okay. This is the part where I want to make it give them Lala without Randall.
No,
okay.
You're stuck with me.
All right, babe. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people said a lot of shit to us, and I think people over time, we prove them wrong, and I hope that you stick with your boyfriend and whatever people give you,
prove them wrong.
Prove them
the
wrong.
Best feeling in the world.
No,
I
and
promise.
It's, yeah, I agree, and it's just, you know what, people will fall in line, and at the end of the day, that's that. I am so
my favorite thing was when they were like, you guys are never gonna make it. Yeah. He's never gonna marry you, and then I was like,
that
look
was
at
like
this the ring, bitch.
Okay, again, that's a
there's still time for him to leave me. We better head to the courthouse.
Okay, let's do this because I am so excited that a friend of both of ours and also an incredible actress, an incredible WWE superstar.
Great actress.
Everything. Our friend.
A sober sister of mine.
A sober sister of yours. Our friend, Natalie Eva Marie.
Maria, yes. The mother effing villain.
Yes.
That's right. I'll tell you, we knew right off the bat. I was like, we're having Eva do this because
yes.
You're a freaking badass.
I love you.
Boss. You're like, what? You're like wrestling. Then I read that you like played soccer. Your body's banging. You're sober.
Wait,
I'm like,
no, I can't. No, hold on. Oh, first of all, for everybody that's listening, first of all, you guys were on like literally location, right? I'm doing a movie with Lala, first of all. Second of all, the full circle of everything. Randall gave me my first movie. Shout out to Randall. What's up?
And by the way, I gave her first movie, Badass. I was lucky to get you early on. And I just want to say that we became friends.
Yes.
You and your husband.
Yes.
And I want to say that now this is full circle, as yeah. you say. We're sitting here in the hotel room of another production that yes. we're doing together with my fiance. I mean, this is just cool as shit.
It is. It's actually very, very cool.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I have to say Inconceivable is bomb. So
bomb.
You can watch it on Netflix, Holler, and it's with Nicolas Cage,
bomb.
And Gina Gershon. I mean, come on.
And wait, and, so wait, fun. Wait, and then you just and go from that, and then you just go from that, you jump back over, and now you're with Bruce Willis.
I mean, you
just
you keep know it what
moving.
I mean?
Keep it moving.
Little stars out here. You know what I mean?
God, you're gonna be like the female version of The Rock.
Stop it.
Yes.
Right?
Don't yes.
You see her as well,
yes. And so a couple things, because I was intrigued because I've asked you 100 questions back in the day.
For sure.
I just want you to just give a snapshot of, like, how did you become WWE fucking E? Because I just think it's the most intriguing story because people okay. see you, you're a superstar, and they think, oh, you just jumped into superstardom.
No.
Yes. Tell us how kind of the evolution.
Short story version because yeah. it's long. But obviously, the grind, the hustle is real. So yeah. The goal was to be a professional soccer player. Okay. So that was, like, the whole youngest of three boys, right. like, very much tomboy. But WWE came in because after I finished school, tore my ligaments in my ankle, so that dream was shattered, right? Oh, so then moved to LA because I wasn't ready to go and dabble in the business corporate world. Right. Moved to LA and dabbled in a little bit of modeling and acting, and I was like, ooh, I like it over here.
Right. I like this space.
I like this. My dad always being like, when are you going to get a real job?
Oh, yeah. We know that. Like, we all know that.
So that whole thing, and especially because education to my parents was like everything.
Like premium. Like,
it's just like they didn't go to college. So it was very much something that I feel like parents just want to give whatever they did not have right. to
100%,
their kid, you know?
100%.
I so, agree with that. And obviously as I get older and older, I really appreciate my parents. Like, damn, I'll put them on something. So moved to LA and like literally was getting just enough gigs to hold on to okay. the pipe dream.
Just scraping by to pay the bills.
Because okay. technically not really, because I was doing the bottle service and waitress,
oh,
doing
wow.
the whole thing, auditioning and during
oh,
the day.
Doing it all.
Hollywood dream.
Yeah, no, straight that's up. What it is. That's what
straight
it entails.
Up. So right. then all of a sudden, boom, WWE came into town and I got, and by this time I'd already been on so many auditions. So it was just like another one. No big deal.
Nothing big.
Nothing like I did
is
not
this
think.
An open call.
Yes.
Agent
casting open wow. call. Well, I got it. I was in a minor like boutique-ish type agency okay. because I had done a fitness competition and I won it. So that was like the perk.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. So you go to an open call with hundreds
yes.
and hundreds of
hundreds,
people.
Hundreds.
How does the audition go? Just give
so
a snapshot.
I walk into the HQ, right? And then I'm looking around and I'm like, Hulk Hogan, what the? I'm like, whoa, this is straight up WWF that I used to watch with my brothers back in the day.
Wow.
So then it's starting to like really click, like what's really going on yeah. here. And I'm like, damn, because I shared a room with one of my brothers and we had bunk beds, so we were dropping
oh
like you know doing
yeah.
the doing the whole yeah. deal. So I'm like, wow, this is wild. So immediately I'm like on Google, right, trying to do a little research, and I'm like, wow, this actually has everything infused into one spot. So I mean, at this point in my time I had nothing to lose,
right.
So totally. Here we go.
Now you're on the stage, you audition, what happens?
Got a call back. Totally left thinking like, there's so many girls, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and it's LA, there's so many, so you never know. And so anyways, callback in front
Wait,
of
multiple callbacks?
Multiple.
Yeah, there were like four, you said.
Yeah, four and then an in-ring. No, the fourth one was an in-ring physicality tryout.
Oh my God,
how does that work?
Well, first, let me get to
Wait,
the one.
Yeah, I wanna hear.
The one
this
prior to that one, I walk into all the yes men. So those guys are the ones that are like literally hammering me questions and lights, camera, action. You walk into a room and I'm like this with a mic standing
yeah.
up there.
How many dudes were there?
There's women in there as well.
Okay, how many people waiting for your answer?
Maybe 12.
Wow.
That's so intimidating.
Including cameramen too.
And they're just firing.
Firing.
Okay.
Like left and right. Left and right. Like literally, you know? Oh, it was so wild because I'd never experienced
right.
something like that.
Yeah.
But I do think God puts you in a place, the right time.
Right place.
It's just like yeah. timing in my life and everything. And I was like, bring it on, let's go. Because
yeah.
I had nothing to hide. I had already been through a ton in my life. So and I have tough skin. Like, I have all older brothers, so you don't think they pick on me? Right. I don't think that you I got, like, punked.
You've been a battle your whole... Like, totally. You have older brothers, and you're the girl. Yeah. You've, like, been a battle.
Totally. You're trying to prove, like, no, I'm alpha. I'm alpha. Yeah, I'm the one. I'm the one. So it was totally easy breezy, and I walked out of there not really feeling like, oh, I think I nailed it or anything like that. I just kind of... gave it up. And
well, like you said, it was just like any other audition. You had been on so many that it was just like another check the box.
So now then, and it was wild because the separation in time was insane. It was super long. Like, it was months.
What?
So by the third to the in-ring physicality tryout like maybe 2.5, 3
Oh, at this point, I would think I didn't get shit. I forgot about it. No, I would even.
I forgot about
that's it. That's what I mean.
Completely.
So you get a phone call.
So I get a phone call, and I made it back to the fourth and final audition, which is in-ring physicality. And what that means, they narrowed it down to, I believe it was at the time, 14 or 15 girls.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. Well, first of all, going in, do you feel, not knowing shit about this, that you are... fit enough for this? Like, were you already an athlete? Like, you are now, meaning were you still in the shape ready to go?
Fitness was definitely like still a part of me. However, when it comes to a sport, wrestling, never in my life.
Nothing.
Except like horsing around with my brothers, you know? So that was definitely intimidating and scary because I've never in my life like hit ropes. Like, what?
Yeah, no, that like, is intimidating.
That's crazy.
I'd be so totally. Scared.
That's crazy.
And I was like, intimidated in that manner. Okay. But then the first day, it was wild. So we're doing like forward rolls, backward rolls. And for me, I'm a field athlete. I like both feet on the floor. So
immediately,
I was like,
what the fuck? What are they doing?
This is so hard. Like, it was insane. And then four girls immediately.
Right there,
yeah, because they're not.
They can't even. They couldn't even hold.
Well, and like not. And I don't. If anything, I'm like, good for you, because they're like, yeah, not happening. I'm not gonna get slapped. Cool.
Right.
I'm not gonna take a clothesline. No. You want me to do a back bump? I don't think so.
Wow. Oh, so they left on their own. They were like, yeah. I'm not doing this.
So you're down to 8 or 7 now.
Now we're down to, I think, 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long does this tryouts go?
So 4 weeks.
4 weeks of physicality.
And I quit after a day, for sure.
And they're teaching you literally, like...
I got jelly rolls in my stomach, but I don't have...
Keep going.
Yeah, you are very fucking harsh today.
Actually, you guys, I love your goddamn podcast. First of all, I didn't even say that. I didn't even say thank you so much for having me on, because when I watched, I feel like I actually
that's the next visioning, phase. Next visioning phase you guys. Is the TV show.
Yeah, you guys actually need to throw this on YouTube so people can see it, because they would be, that's another little money little thing. Randall, I know you like money, honey.
You know I love that paper. We Natalie, educate.
But it is seriously so good. Like, I hadn't seen you guys in a minute.
Yeah,
and so I just listened to your little like sneak peek, like what's to come, you know?
Yeah.
And then obviously the first episode, and I was like, oh my God, they're the same. Like, straight up.
You're like, this is what I know in person.
I love it.
People don't understand that this is real.
No, I know.
Thank you for listening to it.
Yes.
And thank you for being on it.
I'm super stoked.
Dude, like, you're like family, so it's like you already know.
I'm like, Mexican Italian, I love to talk. Give me a mic. Dude,
we are dropping the mic and letting you do your thing.
Yeah, she's the best.
Okay.
I want to hear more. Okay, keep going.
This is exciting for people, because, I mean, come on. Become a WWE superstar.
And they don't do the diva search anymore.
Oh, they don't?
No. They took it out. We're not even called divas anymore. We're all called WWE superstars.
Wow.
You know, what's going on?
Equality.
There you go.
I got it. So now
we're in the in-ring part, right? And it's like, okay, each day is obviously different. But the first, like, 3 days after my initial first week, I literally cannot lift my leg. Like, I was staying with, at the time when I got the job, I was living with my girlfriend, and she had those little baby gates or the doggy gates or whatever, because she had little dogs.
You couldn't get over it?
I could not get over it. I had to lift my leg with my hands.
That's how bad the pain, that's how bad,
like, new muscles. All new muscles that were being worked that I had never in a million years even thought I even had.
Wow.
So it was insane. But anyway, so basically you do the in-ring tryout to see if you can handle the physicality, and if they like you and see potential, and all that really promised you was you could hopefully at the end get a developmental deal. You got a shot. Right. But, so learn how to wrestle, right. Take the acting classes, create your character. So we'll help guide you. And then you're also traveling and doing live shows for like 10 people, setting up a ring, like doing the deal.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So that's the developmental. It's a grind.
Okay.
It's a grind. So then after those 4 weeks, that's what everybody's trying out for. That's what everyone's hoping for. Just that
the developmental deal.
Yes.
Okay.
Four of us got it.
The developmental contract.
Yes,
so you're celebrating. That's a big deal. So, I'd be off the charts.
Off the charts. Off the,
yeah.
Party.
So excited. Like life changing. This
of
was
course.
Everything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I had met Jonathan, now my husband, 4 weeks, 5 weeks before I started my in-ring physicality.
Oh, so 2 months you've been dating now at this point, right? 4 or 5 weeks before, weeks of...
Probably now...
3 months.
Two.
2 months in.
So I met him like right, like literally right before.
And just side note, where did you guys meet? Because he's, by the way, the nicest human being on the planet. And another...
Shout out, Jonathan.
Wait, Jonathan. by the way, for those of you that don't know Natalie's husband, you can look him up on the gram. Okay, dude is... shredded superstar, like superhero Superman. Again, not like my jelly rolls, but nicest guy on the planet. Yeah, nicest guy. I love him, and I know he's just, your business partner, and you guys have a huge brand, a company, and all that stuff. But go ahead. So how did you guys meet?
We met actually on the gram. He has a whole nother story, like how it went down. But basically, it started with a like. Yeah. And this was right before Instagram, but you couldn't even DM anybody.
And
you couldn't Instagram was only for Apple phones. Do you remember that?
I didn't know that. I came in late. Like I came in late to the game. So
it was like super brand, like super. Okay. I remember how many followers he had, because I was like, who is he? He had 25K. And I was like, who is he?
Wow.
I had five.
What?
Yeah. See?
And now you got 5 million.
The doubles. Double K, baby.
You know what I'm saying? I saw this dude that I had never seen before. Like a couple photos, and they weren't like the thirst photos of like bikini, right. Booty.
It wasn't a thirst trap.
Nah, it was
strap.
The book, The Five Love Languages.
Can I tell you, he liked those.
The fact that I posted
those probably didn't have as many likes, so he's like, I gotta like the ones because then she'll notice.
Something.
Yes, yeah, no, he had knew. A game plan.
Yeah.
And Jonathan.
Jonathan's he's smart. That's why I literally married the guy, because he's smart.
I know him. Every time I look at him, he's thinking. It's all up here. I mean, besides the fact that it's a flawless physique.
Yeah.
But yes, the guy is very upstairs.
Oh, he's gonna love you guys for this. He's gonna be like, you guys, make sure you tune in to Randall and Lala's podcast.
Jonathan, we need all the love on our podcast.
But so that's kind of how it went down. And then he
you guys linked up.
Shot me his email in a comment. And then we were emailing back and forth.
You go on a dinner date?
No, we met at actually a CrossFit gym.
That is such real.
So
that is so
legit.
I would never meet at a friggin' gym for a date because I couldn't get through 6 minutes.
When I was dating, if you weren't giving me alcohol, I wasn't showing up.
Okay, with that, some things could be left unsaid. Thank you very much for that, Lala. Okay.
I have a question.
Back to Natalie. Yeah.
When you were auditioning,
why do you have to bring that shit up?
For WWE, were they casting that you know of for Total Divas? Were they looking for the next Total Diva?
No. I did not know of Total Diva. So that all kind of goes into the same time frame. So they were casting at that time, but they did not make it like public. It was more in-house.
Right.
So WWE was trying to decide whether or not they already had who they were going to have on the cast. So they really only needed two more girls. And they were originally going to bring up two NXT girls up on the main roster as well as be a part of Total Divas.
Okay.
Then I have no idea where the shift happened, but the shift happened, thank God, in my favor, or else I wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
Where somebody somehow said, you know what would be great is to have two brand new girls.
Fresh,
that know nothing about the business.
How long into WWE are you a developmental girl when they make this call?
I got my job within 48 hours. So I got my developmental deal. So they offered four. So I told Jonathan, like, oh my God, yay, whatever. You know, like, I got it. Then I get a call saying, hey, by the way, since you live in LA, do you mind going in on this audition / interview? We can't really tell you exactly what it is.
Wow.
This, that, and the other. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I go in. It's Bina Murray.
So this is, by the way, so everybody knows, Bonna Murray makes Road Rules.
Kardashians.
That's all you got to know.
Right. Whoa. I just want to say that Bonna Murray, the original and Real World, the pioneer of reality.
Totally.
There you go. Tell us, because when I met you via your agent at William Morris, Brad,
who's
a mutual friend,
he
had told me, because he represents The Rock and brought The Rock up, just tell me kind of your Rock like relationship history, like it's just like, cool, like whatever, mentor, whatever it is.
Honestly, like the whole WWE kind of experience, I guess, how I walked into that specific job at that specific time was all, I guess, I don't want to say dream because that's so cliche,
but it is.
But it's so, but it not is. Like it will not happen again to some, like to someone. One, they don't do the diva searches. Number two, Total Divas is on its probably way out.
Right.
Right.
How many years has that show been on?
I think it's as long as Vanderpump.
Eight.
Wow. Okay. So that world is different today. But when you came into it, like The Rock was just there. Like just explaining.
No. He wasn't, because he was already transitioned. So he was never on the road. Yes.
Yeah. She had John Cena.
John Cena was on the road with us constantly. So he was the only one. Rock would only come back like
for sporadic, special.
Exactly, for like a big moment.
But
WrestleMania.
When he comes back, just explain, like you're an actress, you're a brand, you're a wrestler, you're everything. And The Rock shows up, $20 million movie star slash wrestler star.
Yeah.
Does he just come hang out with you and like shoot the shit? Do you go to the gym and pump iron? Do you lift weights? What do you do?
I mean, not when I was there. I mean, he might have been. He might have, but not my days.
Yeah.
My days is he has his, you know, room, and he gets like
social.
Get in,
is he social?
Get in and do his job and then get out, because time is money and he's busy. Totally.
Busy
so
guy.
I remember like passing at a WrestleMania, and this was when I passed Brad, but I didn't know it was Brad at the time.
Oh, right.
And that was like the first time that I said hello. So it was like an awesome, like just a normal encounter,
right.
Instead of, you don't want to be like,
you don't want to be banging on the door.
No,
like,
no, you don't.
Like
you don't.
There's a genuine interest.
For sure.
Please take me or pick me.
100%.
I get it. Totally. I get that.
For sure. So I was like, you know, lucky enough to just like even coincidentally run into Rock, and then it was Brad, and then kind of like a little bit of entourage guys that happened to be, because he was performing for WrestleMania. Got to introduce, say, what's up? Hello. Introduced myself and kept it pushing. But then I think about 4 or 5 months later, I get a call. I'm doing a shoot, and it's our I can't remember her position. I think it's public relations, maybe. But anyways, gives me a call and says, hey, Eva, would you take a meeting with this guy, Brad Slater? And I'm like,
you're like, what?
After we got into WWE, that's when like business started really like
coming.
Like Jonathan and I really wanted to utilize
the platform.
Yes, okay. Because it's okay, like,
so that's where you started saying, let's try to brand and
obviously create. Yeah,
right.
Well, and not only that, going into WWE as well, Jonathan is smart, and
he helped you.
Totally.
Wow, that's cool.
Where like I had my whole website and everything. That's why I was able to have my name and stuff like that, which is obviously another.
It's like Lala and I created Lala. There was no Lala before Randall.
Give me a break.
That's what they all say.
I'm definitely getting voted. I'm getting voted off.
My mama and my dad.
There you go.
Hey. I'm getting voted off the island.
You're getting voted off the island.
Is it give them Lala with
always.
Lala?
Give them Lala without
to be.
Okay, wait. Okay, can we go back to business?
We can go back to business, but there's a big question that I have.
Yes.
At what point in your life did you say, I got to get sober?
Mm.
Yeah.
Ooh, segue into
the...
I leave this to the
ladies. I'm going to let you do this.
I got sober first I was raised in a really, really strict household. So once I ended up leaving my parents, that was almost like where it was like all bets are off, where I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have a curfew.
Yeah.
Like it is popping.
Right.
And then, you know, bad decision after another, I got into, you know, a lot of trouble. And then My oldest brother actually ended up getting sober, and he basically, in a sense, I always looked up to him. So yeah. I was like, damn, well, I mean, if he's doing it, and I was depressed and my life was like, you know, I was throwing it literally away, and I was not raised the way that I was, some of the decisions that I was making, where, you know, for anyone that's listening too, like, especially parents and stuff, like, I feel so bad to this day. Like, my parents are rock stars. They're my everything. They 100% had no, like, input in the sense of, like, where they should feel bad, because a parent is always going to feel bad if their child is not doing well.
They felt guilty that, like, maybe they had done something wrong.
Went left or right, whatever you want to say. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And addiction runs, like, deep in my family, too. So I got sober originally at 23.
Wow, you were young. Mm-hmm. That's a baby.
No, that what that means is she had a really good time from 15 to 23.
I would say 18 to 23.
So it was like, once she moved out.
Once I moved out from my parents. Yeah.
Okay, and I have to make light, because obviously I've been with Lala, you know, for a long time, and you know, I've been through her addiction.
Sure.
My dad's sober like 20 plus years, so it runs in my family.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, so when you got sober that young, similar to her, because she got sober late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
What was the challenge, and what got you through staying sober? Because I've read quotes from you where you say most people fail once, but don't give up. Like, so what?
For sure.
So what does that mean to people?
It's kind of like one of the things where I know that I put a lot of, like, because I work a program, like I work a 12-step program, so I feel like I infuse that in a lot of aspects of my life. So if you fail, so when I first got into AA or my program, I do the whole deal. I have a sponsor. I sponsor women. I go to meetings. It sucks. It's super annoying. It's super hard. Not what I want to do. I never want to go to a meeting, but I always feel better after.
Yeah.
I never want to, like, I love all my girls that I sponsor, but, like, a lot of times I want to be, like, not doing.
You want to go do your own thing.
Because that's, like, I don't want to lose what I have now.
Right.
Because I never want to go back to the dark moment that I used to dabble in,
I do.
But it is, it's definitely, that's why they always say, like, a simple program, but it takes a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
But in how I infuse it into all aspects of life is, we're going to fail. We're going to get told no so many times. Like, right. I've gotten told no way more than I've ever been told yes.
Right. I agree.
So it's just making sure that you do all the cliche shit we always hear.
Yeah.
Get back up, keep going, believing in yourself, and kind of, like, keep the engine going.
Totally.
But I think I was super cocky too, and I was like, I'm never gonna relapse. I'm like, what? These people are crazy. Like, super judgmental. Like, this, I am not one of these. Like, you know what I mean? On my little pony.
How long in?
So I lasted 3 years.
What?
Yep.
See, this is amazing.
So I lasted 3 years, and I called up my sponsor, who is still my sponsor now, Mo.
From the beginning.
I've known her for, like, 14 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
So which technically I should be celebrating 13. She's about to celebrate 14.
You're 3 years sober.
So I'm 3 years sober. I call her up. Mo, I love you so much. Thank you for everything. Because sometimes, as you know, the promises that, if anybody doesn't know, like, if you work a program, certain things start to happen in your life. Like, normal people get, like, I got my license back.
Right. Good things.
I started paying taxes. You know what I mean? Like, a normal, yes, like,
Lala
good.
Lala was like, like, once she got sober, and God bless her, I tell her every day, her biggest accomplishment in life will be this.
For sure.
But in the 13, 14 months she's been sober, I mean,
15.
There you go. See? But 15 months she's been sober.
Definitely.
Miracles have happened daily, weekly. And she acknowledged. So
That's what they say. They say, don't leave until the miracle happens.
Right.
Legit. Right. Like, that is.
So you're three.
You preaching that big book. Let's go.
The big book.
Okay. So wait, 3 years in, what happened?
So 3 years in. And so I start, like, obviously, you know, getting my life back. I'm feeling good. Like, things great. And so I called Mo, and I was like, Mo, I love you so much. Thank you for everything.
Wow.
But I'm good. And she's like, what do you mean good? Like, what? And then she's like, well, you know, I don't suggest this, but okay.
Yeah.
Sure enough, within like 9 months, I think I like white knuckled it, or so they say. That's the phrase, I guess. Without working a program, without having a sponsor.
Oh, you went out just by yourself.
Just like
living
like just a sober, dry, they call it
dry life.
Dry. And within 9 months, it was just like on and popping. Like once I had a little, it was just like I never stopped. So then I was out for
how long 2 years. Oh, you were out for 2 years?
Yeah, and we were really bad. Ended up in rehab.
And you had a rehab?
Mm-hmm.
And then never, that was it.
No, and then so I met Jonathan straight out of rehab.
Wow.
I know, this is like kind of mic drop stuff.
No, this is good.
I haven't dropped any of this stuff.
But this is the stuff I think that matters, because all the other shit, like, you know, success and all that.
Sure.
But this is the stuff that I think people, like Lala gets so much love for sobriety, you know, and I give her more
love. Yeah, best kind of love that anyone's ever given.
No, she loves that. Let me ask you a question. Jonathan is sober, not sober.
No, he's a normie. He's like you.
Like me.
We go out on Friday.
We pay the next day.
This is what I love about normies. You can go out and get drunk, and the next day you'll be like, I'm done for a minute. Like, you had a good time.
Yeah.
Me, it's like, I got fucked up last night. I better get it popping so I can get back to normal.
Same. Like, we went to Sundance. This is just me.
Yeah.
We went to Sundance. Alex is sitting here. We went out. Was it Friday? Alex, yeah, Friday. And we got back to the house, whatever, like 2 o'clock. And we sat in the kitchen and continued to drink. And then I woke up the next day and I said to God, please, where's the IV doctor? Brought the IV doctor in.
Oh, my God.
Got that. Then I had to go to tubing and sledding, followed by Bloody Mary.
Oh, my God.
And then I said, okay, I'm good for like 2 or 3 months. I don't need to have another, you know, now it's like.
Right.
Normie.
Right.
So jealous of them.
But the fact of like, what I'm saying is like, I was with Lala, and obviously in her dark phase. Listen, she's a little person.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen somebody. She would get mad at me. She would say when we're out, and this is what I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Until it got really, really bad. She would say to me, like, I'd say, babe, can we go home now? It's like 12:30. She's like, you're a loser. Your drink is half full. Nobody leaves a drink on the table. A loser leaves a drink on the table. I mean, it was a dark, dark, dark place. And now she's like, babe, can we watch Friends tonight at 7:15?
Well,
go to sleep at 8.
Oh, yeah.
I go to sleep at 8.
We'll go to restaurants that don't have alcohol.
Yeah.
Normally, I would.
Oh, she wouldn't go.
Leave.
For sure.
Why would we go here?
Yeah.
She would not go.
Now everyone else around me is like, they don't have alcohol. I'm like,
babe, give me your line. My favorite line. When the waiter always comes to you and says, do you want a drink tonight? Tell them what you say.
Or I'm like, if you don't want your restaurant burned down tonight, you know, because it do.
Seriously. Same.
I'm lighting shit up if you give me alcohol.
100%. Flames are happening.
Yes.
Flames are going down.
We're kicking through doors. Like, you, if that's what you want.
Totally.
So you meet Jonathan.
Oh,
You're so right then, out of rehab.
Right out of rehab. Wow. So then I don't tell him.
Oh, like, you don't?
No. God, no. How could I? Wait. Like, all of a sudden, don't do this, anybody that's listening. But in my head, I'm thinking, like, there's no way that, like, the first couple of dates, I'm going to be like, oh, by the way, I just got out of rehab, and this is, you know, I'm rock solid over here, you know?
like shaking. Yeah. Like, what time's my next meeting? I have to laugh only because as somebody who's been and lived through an alcoholic partner, you know, tears and
for sure.
heartbreak. But
I could laugh now because we went through it.
And,
you know.
And by the way, and you're standing here
totally
to inspire people.
Yes.
And by the way, I have to laugh because I know that both of you inspire people all over the world to be sober, to be healthy, if they need that recovery.
I'm telling you what, if that's the only thing I ever do in my life, is to inspire someone.
I love that.
Addiction, that is enough.
Not only that, but because I think too, we're females, and I feel like there's this like stigma with girls, especially for just alcoholism or addiction in general.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like guys talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But with Jonathan, I think the best thing that happened to me, so I didn't tell him, right?
Wow.
And we ended up...
How long?
I only lasted a few weeks because his best friend was getting married. Oh, yeah, it's a good story.
Oh, this is good.
I know, I wish Jonathan was here because he would literally tell you verbatim. Because there's moments that I obviously don't remember, but so his best, and I've only known Jonathan, mind you, maybe we've gone on a couple dates.
That's it.
So this is like the first time that I'm actually sleeping over too. So
Wow.
Obviously it was like a joint hotel room and stuff.
Yeah.
But still, first night, yeah. And like meeting his best friend and his best friend's wife and all her friends and stuff. So I'm like, oh, yay. So where do they go? Right? Vegas. Cool.
Oh, God.
No.
So I'm not even thinking anything of it. Right? Because of course not. So, we get there first night. Cool. Well, no. First night we get into the room and everybody starts doing a round of shots, a round of Jack. And so in my head, it's like, you know, the devil, the devil gnat, and then the angel gnat, the devil, the one that always wants to take me down. She's a tough cookie, man. She is a tough bitch. She wants to take me out every day. Yeah. I'm like, stay down. Like, dang.
Oh,
like, she is tough. So she's strong. And she's strong-armed, and I've ended up.
Oh, you did?
I did. So then, so I took it down.
How long have you been sober at this point?
She just got out of rehab.
At this point, I was probably maybe 3.5, 4.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So I was fresh, right? You would think that it would be fresh in my brain. Like, yay, you just, what's wrong with you? And I paid rehab for myself. It was a pretty penny.
Yeah, that's
so I took the hit too, where I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Okay.
But addiction.
So you do the shot.
You do crazy things. First night, everything's good. Have some drinks. We go out to the club. Everything's fine. Come back. The next morning, I'm like, hey, I was cool. Like last night, right? Like, right? And he kept thinking,
didn't remember anything?
No, I did. But kind of vaguely, but I still wanted to get that reassurance. So he was like, yeah, everything was cool. It was good. 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 Okay. This is at like, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what time in the morning. And then so that night comes. We go out on and popping. It's like now 1, 2, 3 in the morning, we go to some little like buffet and it's like all you can drink mimosas or something.
Oh, no.
So I start going in there, go back to the room. I think we fell asleep for like an hour and then all of a sudden I woke up like a bright idea and it was a pool party for her, like her, which is girl.
Yeah.
So terrible, like impression.
Yeah.
Oh.
I decide, cool. I'm gonna start early.
Yeah.
It's 6 a.m. So I downed an entire bottle of Jack.
No. Natalie?
To the dome.
An entire bottle of Jack. That's like full alcohol.
We would have had a lot of fun together.
So Jonathan, he hears me. He's sleeping. He hears me like all of a sudden I'm all like loud. I'm naturally loud anyways.
Right. Now you're having your own party. It's the Eva Marie party.
Yes.
Okay.
Like he comes out like and he like looks at me, and I don't recall this, but he did like a double take because he's like, wait a minute. Is she drunk? So anyways, long story short, we end up going to that party. I'm like just a disaster. Like extensions kind of like falling out of my head. Yes.
Bad.
Like bad.
And he's mortified?
Mortified. Okay. He called my mom
and was like,
like, your daughter has an alcohol problem or addiction problem.
And your mom's like, no, she just got out of rehab.
My mom's like, no. I know.
Tells him everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now what does he do?
And now he's like basically stuck because I'm obviously, he's not going to be a jerk and just say, boo me out of the room, you know? So the next day, later on that night, I like totally sober up and he looks me in my face and gets kind of crazy and I felt like a little kid where I was like
all of a sudden
I was like on my best behavior for because we still had like 36 hours left of the trip.
Those
36 hours
he is a rock star.
Yeah, I know.
To handle this because
for sure
anybody else would have been like, here's your Southwest ticket, here's the driver,
totally
fly safe,
100%. Okay. 100%.
So he says, we're going to get through the next 2 days.
Well, he wasn't that nice, but those 36 hours, I was like,
out of 10.
You didn't have any drink.
No, hell no. I wasn't
even. Were you sober from that day?
Yes, I was. I actually was, because he said we had like a big, because everything was changing. So I had, it was actually right before my WWE tryout when that happened.
What?
Too.
Oh, this is God's.
God was looking over you, girl.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, could you imagine me drinking?
Well, none of that stuff would have happened.
You would have made it through day one. But hold on. So that is God's way, because. You, after that, I assume he gets sober.
Yeah, because he kind of, in a sense, gave me an ultimatum if I wanted to continue to date him or see where this relationship was going.
Or
there was no way I would have to go back to the way that, because obviously my mom let him in on. Yeah. I worked a program. She was sober. Right.
Right.
So he told me that, and then. That's when I was like, all right, that's it.
That's right.
And then, so, and then from there, you just done. Yeah.
Wow.
It took me probably a little bit to hop on. Then, like, I had to put my tail between my legs, call Mo, my sponsor.
Because
there was no way that I was going to have a new sponsor and put all my dirt out on the street like that.
No.
I was like, no, Mo.
Hey, I'm back.
Yeah. You already know how much stuff prior.
You were
gonna
be back.
Yeah.
She knew it.
She did. Wow. And so, I mean, she picked up the phone and.
That's so inspiring.
She literally was like,
what a story. I mean, now when I see Jonathan, I have to give him like so much more love, because you look at somebody's spouse, just like they look at us, and they don't know nobody knows what anybody's been through. Like,
for sure.
Come on, relationships. Like, look, people look at Lala and I, and they look at us, and they're like, you know, they're this, and they fly on jets. It's all bullshit. Like, at the end of the day, you know, and that's why I love this podcast, because people get to see how we are.
Yeah.
I give Jonathan mad love and respect, because, you know, I had been through it with her for a long time. Again, she tricked me for a long time, because I didn't know she had, like,
I tried.
Was a full alcoholic, you know.
I tried to trick Jonathan, but
he was quicker. He was quicker.
Yeah.
He was, considering you got out of rehab, it was a quicker, like, heads up. Yeah. But Lala was just more like, I was like, she would hide the day drinking.
For sure.
You know, so in the day, she'd wake up in
I'm like, oh, you're not down to party like that? Well, then I'll just put this in my coffee cup and we'll call it good.
Right. Yeah. And then one day she was a little off in the morning. This is kind of the beginning. One day you were a little off in the morning. We were swimming in the pool. And it was like 9 a.m. And I was like, you sound a little off. Are you okay?
And
I was already on to her. I was already on to her at that point. And I said, let me. And she put the cup down. I grabbed it and took a sip.
No, you didn't. I remember this vividly.
Baby,
you said, let me have a taste. And I was so not going
to. She threw it over the balcony.
That's what happened.
Of
I was not going to let him have a taste.
It was vodka. She threw it over the balcony of the pool. And then at that point, you know,
the
you
jig
just,
is up. I mean,
it's game's up.
Totally. Game's up.
Her last, whatever, what do you call it? Your last day out.
Yeah.
Last hurrah.
Yeah.
Your last hurrah.
Yeah.
She got on the plane. We were coming back from Disney World,
which I was blackout the whole time.
And I didn't even see her, because it was so bad, and it was so bad that for me at that point, it was kind of the end.
You disconnected.
It was the end of our relationship. In my opinion, I had written her a letter and said that I can't do this anymore. And if you can figure it out, I'll be there for you. But for now, we're done. And so I'd written this letter so that when we got home, I was going to read it to her. But we got on the plane and I remember she had a bottle of, what was it?
Hennessy. All I cared about was that bottle.
Drinking from the morning all the way to get on the plane. When we got on the plane, she's like out of a rap video, you know, in her hand. And she drank herself until she was passed out. And it's when she passed out, I wrote this letter and then, you know, we came home.
Ugh. Oh, don't get emotional.
I know. It's super tough, because it's one of those things, like, that's why it's nice to laugh and joke about it, because it is such a dark and serious.
It took a while for me to be able to have him look back on
time. I couldn't laugh for a long time.
I was like, I'm so ashamed of that. Like, you can't talk about it. But now we look back on everything.
No, now we laugh. But I'll tell you something. There was a time where I also didn't believe, like, because I was ready to be done with with everything.
Yep.
And when she walked in my office that day, I was going to read the letter. She said, you know, I'm an alcoholic. She had never said that before.
Uh-huh.
And so then I said, okay, obviously I'm not going to turn my back on somebody that's
there. Right.
So I was like, okay, let's go play this game, because she's told me she's going to stop drinking.
Totally.
So we, and I, you know, grew up where you party and have a fun night, a fun couple nights. This is a different thing. This was 7 days
later. Yeah.
But so I wrote it out, and I had such resentment and such anger. So when she got sober, I couldn't let it go. And so there was a couple months, and to just say a long story short, when we went to a meeting, you know,
I called him. I was like, which keep in mind, there were many times where I would tell him, meet me
she
here.
She promised me dinner. To get drunk, she couldn't instead. Show up. She'd fall down. It was mortifying. I couldn't make plans. I'm talking about at the end when it got really late.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I was like, hey, I need you to meet me at the San Vicente meeting.
Yeah.
I was like there early.
No, no. So she says like 7 o'clock. First, you know? She says 7 o'clock. And I'm like, this is another, like, and this is about 30 days in, 40 days in. And I show up. She's standing out front, like at 6:45, waiting for me. Couldn't wait to walk, be and introduce me to people. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah.
She couldn't even make it some days. And so that was probably the beginning for me and the excitement. And then about 90 days in or 60 days in, when I still had a lot of resentment and a lot of hurt from things that had been done, she said, look, you have to make a decision. Like you can't, like, either you have to, like, be with me and forgive me, or you have to, like, walk away because, you know, you can't. I did a lot of soul searching, and my soul searching was that I can't punish somebody who's in recovery. Either I have to go off on my own and be away.
And I told him that, because for me, it was like, at that moment,
she had given me a lot of time.
But I also told him, I'm like, my recovery is more important than you right now.
Yes.
My family, because and I'm not
that.
Helpful to that. Anybody if I pick up a drink. And I'm already beating myself up. Right. Like, I can't have
for
you doing
shame.
It too.
She had a lot of
totally.
Shame.
Totally. Because there's so much that you, like, you bury, and then not only that, it has to at some point
come out
through recovery. It's going to surface, and it's going to come to light, and you're going to walk through it. You're going to get through it, and it's super painful, and it's a lot. But
eventually forgive yourself, because it's the addiction. And I also, you know, have been through, you know, my own recovery, not for alcohol and stuff, but like in life, just to work on myself and things I've gone
totally.
Through. And I'll tell you the final note here I'll say is that, like, I woke up after that and I kind of spent some time with myself and I said, either this is the woman I love and look at her, I've got the best version, or I need to go on and move on, because our relationship was, you know, it was struggle for a long time. And that's when I think we finally just put it together and we said, look, you know, in the beginning, our relationship, you know, was what it was. It just was not perfect in any way, but now let's go try to create a great relationship.
For sure.
And we work every day, and we're still learning things about each other, but you know what, like any relationship, but we try to talk through things and we try to work through things, right, babe? But I am very proud. Like, I tell her greatest accomplishment. I don't give a shit about TV shows, and I don't care about movies, and I don't care about money she makes and all the things that she does. Her sobriety will be her greatest accomplishment. I give her mad respect. I love you.
Jonathan says the same thing.
Yeah.
Because, and I think it was so a monumental moment for him to actually see what a change in me, because it's really hard for somebody that does not understand either alcoholism or addiction for somebody to say that I am and not get it, because they're normal. So they don't understand the severity of, like, the disease. So for him to actually witness full point blank, like
in his face,
just like, wait a minute, this is her. And then who, and like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like
that's,
two different
that's
people.
Me. That's
like,
me.
You're cool. This is, I don't even know what this is.
Right.
Yeah, like, who are you?
I agree with you. I feel like our relationship, honestly, and I don't discredit things, but, you know, we've had a lot of hills and valleys.
Sure.
But I feel like the last year was really where it came together. Like, that's where our relationship, because our relationship before that was crazy, and, you know, you break up and you get back. We just were nuts. And now I have somebody who's like, babe, you'll be here at 8 o'clock and you'll be here sharp. And I show up 7 minutes late. She's like, I said 8, babe. I'm like, who are you? It took me about 6 months to realize that I better show up on time. So I love her for that. And you're an amazing, badass woman to do what you've done. And you both are women who are, like, super successful and on top of the world, and to be sober in the world you're in, I give you mad props, because our world, you
for
know,
sure.
is not an easy world to operate, you know, sober. So real quick, so as we end this, because this will be our longest podcast.
Dude, I know, we all can talk for days.
I know, but dude, you're so
we're just breaking the surface.
Real quick question wraps up. Now, you know, because you're coming to our wedding, April 18th.
Wait, before you ask the question, I have to say, because it was too... it's too sweet to even let it go. Okay. But going to your guys' engagement party, the first thing that he had said to me was how proud he was of you because of your sobriety.
And you were
pretty fresh in.
Really fresh.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, I got sober in October and I was in December.
Yep.
Yeah. It was like less than 60 days. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And he was already proud. Yeah.
And I told you how proud.
I love you, Rand.
Any wedding advice for us? Because it's a nightmare and I never want to ever have to answer another question from my mother, her mother, or the wedding planner about a frickin'...
We've been ignoring our mom all day.
Listen, a frickin' tulip or a frickin' poinsettia or a tablecloth. Put the frickin' paper tablecloth on the frickin' table. I don't give a shit. What do you do under the pressure?
I'm literally the worst person to ask because I was on the road. So Jonathan and my mom
did everything.
Wow, you're so lucky.
I know. And then?
We technically
eloped really quick.
What?
You are so smart.
Just because it was crazy, but then I'm the only girl and I'm Mexican Italian. Yeah, we did.
You eloped and then had the wedding, but they didn't really know.
Yeah, they can't know. She's Mexican Italian.
Exactly. Oh, it was like so bad.
Exactly. But then, kick your ass. Yeah,
so we don't ever talk about that
one.
Well,
now it's out. Okay.
Well,
Mama, close your ears.
No. It was out because the Total Divas like kind of showed it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we got married on the show and had the big.
Oh,
big
you did?
Wedding. Yeah.
Oh, I might have to rewind.
There's mariachis
and watch that.
At my band. There's a mariachi band at my wedding. If you don't think I'm Mexican, Jonathan was like, "Oh my gosh, there's gonna what is going on?"
I tell everybody, if you could be a part of any culture in the world, I'm like, make me a part of the Mexican culture,
dude. Tell me.
Beautiful.
How many guests were Jonathan's? 35. How many guests were my side of the family?
How many?
225. And that was like skimming back.
Oh my
that
God.
Is this amazing. Is,
you're a gangster.
You're a
real
gangster.
Dude,
Mexicans be having too many babies.
They're like Mormons.
Damn. My mom's one of 13.
That's amazing, dude. But I'm so happy that you came on our podcast.
No, I love you guys.
We really love you guys. You know that. And we love working with you, but we also love being family with you.
Because
you really are become family to us. And you really, I love the story today because the sobriety, hearing it, you know, from you and obviously knowing her story is really inspiring.
Yeah, thank you for opening up to us. And again, you guys, we love to hear from you. So make sure you hit a boy and a girl up at 866-LALA-POD. That's 866-LALA-POD. Eva Marie, you are the shit.
I love you guys. Thank you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.